This week I was reading a story that a pastor wrote. And he talked about how he'd gone to a park with his dog. And he sat down in the grass while his dog was running around the field. And as he sat there, three kids came up to him. He says they were carrying bag lunches and their clothes were dirty and their faces were dirty. And they just walked up and just plopped themselves down right beside him. And I'll let him pick up the story. Before I can move, the oldest child launched into a complicated story of family dysfunction. Hi, my name is Deanna, and I'm 12. My sister is Christy, and she's 10. And Mickey, my brother, doesn't he look fat in his Lion King t-shirt, is 6. We all have different dads. My dad is dead. Christy's dad disappeared, and Mikey's dad beats him up, so our mom is divorcing the creep. My mom and her fiancé, Larry, are at a casino because they need time alone, so she bought us all barbecue burrito at the town pump and told us to stay in the park for 2 hours. Can we sit by you? I said yes, and then I asked if they lived in town. No, Deanna, the family spokesman, answered again. We used to live in town, but my mom lost her job. I don't like living in a tent. By the way, what's your job? Well, I'm a pastor. After a long silence, she asked, Mr. Pastor, can you tell me something? I've heard stories about Jesus walking around healing people, loving people. Why doesn't he do that anymore? It's a great question. Maybe you're wondering that same thing today. Does Jesus still heal? Does Jesus still meet needs? Does Jesus still work through people? We're looking at four stories from the Old Testament prophet Elisha. In our first week, we burned some plows, and last week we dug some ditches, and this morning we're going to collect some jars. Let me read you the story from 2 Kings chapter 4, the first 7 verses, and then we'll just walk through the story together this morning. Here's what it says. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each jar is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, Bring me another one. But he replied, There is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Let's go back to verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves. Here's a widow. She's lost her husband, and she was left with debt, and she had no way to pay that debt off. After all, her provider and her protector was gone, and she had no chance of meaningful employment. Back then, in that culture, women were basically unemployable unless they wanted to be prostitutes. And so here's this woman, she was in debt, and the creditor was coming to take her 2 sons. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, there's a law that says that if you couldn't pay your debts, you or your sons could be taken as slaves to work off your debt until the year of Jubilee. Here's the widow. And she's just that. She's a widow. Her husband's dead. She has no means of financial support. She's in debt, and she's about to lose her two sons. Her situation looks desperate. I'm sure she was despairing. I'm sure she felt overwhelmed. I'm sure she looked at the situation and thought, it's hopeless. What about your life today? Where's your point of need right now? Is it relational? Is it marital? Financial? Maybe your point of need has something to do with health or emotions. Maybe your point of need is spiritual. What is your point of need today? For the widow, her point of need was financial. So what she does is she cried out to the prophet Elisha, and she says, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Her husband worked for Elisha, so I'm sure the widow had heard how the power of God was working through the prophet's life. I'm sure she'd heard about the miracles, and her only hope was the prophet, was Elisha. And so she cried out to him. You know, when I read that story this week, I thought that's a really good reminder to us that when we're in tough times, when we're despairing, we too need to cry out to someone. We too need to follow that widow's example and cry out to someone. And often in church world, Christians go, "Well, I got to keep it all inside. I can't share my despair. I can't share my hopelessness with anyone because everyone else looks like they've got it all together." And yet what I think we need to do is we need to follow the example of the widow, and we need to cry out. We need to cry out for help to a mature Christ follower or to a professional or to someone. We need to follow the example of this widow. She cried out to Elisha the prophet, and in verse 2, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? How can I help you?" Notice his response. He didn't say, "Oh, that's a terrible situation." He didn't say, "Oh, sucks to be you." He replied and said, "How can I help you?" Do you know there is great power in those five small words? If you want to be used by God, if you want to have a life filled with joy, if you want to have a life that blesses others, then I would encourage you to use those five small words often. In fact, here's a challenge to you. Tomorrow morning when you get up, before you go to wherever you go, just stop for a moment. Open your hands and pray and say, "God, I want to go into my world today with an attitude that says, how can I help?" Make that happen. And then as you go through your day, go through your day with the attitude of, "How can I help?" Go through your day prayerfully and say, "God, help me today to see a need and fill it. Help me today to see a hurt and heal it." Try that tomorrow. And see what God does through you. And here's another thing that struck me about this story. Remember last week? Elisha, this prophet, he's dealing with the kings. He's dealing with the power brokers. He's dealing with the politicians. He's dealing with the nation leaders. He's dealing with kings. And today, he's dealing with a poor widow. Isn't that amazing? Here's a guy that has the ability to deal with the powerful and the poor. And I think we can learn from him that we need to be ready to help whoever God brings into our path, whether it's the powerful or the poverty-stricken. Back to verse 2. Elisha says, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" Elisha said, "Let's start with what you have. What do you have in your house?" And to which the widow replied, look at her response, "Your servant has nothing there at all." Have you ever noticed that when you're hurting, that when you're despairing, all you can see is your lack? You get tunnel vision, and all you can see is what you don't have, all the while missing the blessings that you do have. Have you ever noticed that? When you think a situation is hopeless, you focus on your lack, not your blessings. Let me give you an example of tunnel vision. Imagine for a minute a person walking into their walk-in closet that's absolutely stuffed with clothes. And they go in there and what do they say? I have nothing to wear. They could clothe an entire Mexican village with what they have in that closet, but what they say is, I have nothing to wear. Why do they say that? Because they're focused on what they don't have rather than what they do have. And what applies to walking into that closet applies to life. When you're hurting, when you're despairing, it becomes easy to become totally focused on what you don't have rather than what you do have. That's the mindset of this widow. She was focused on her lack. And we can be the same way. We can focus on our lack rather than on our blessings. And Elisha says to her, well, what do you have in your house? And she says, your servant has nothing there at all except what? A small jar of olive oil. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not, but olive oil in that day was valuable because it was rare and it had multiple uses. Olive oil was used back then in cooking to help lamps burn. It was used as a moisturizer. It was used to keep leather pliable. It was used to keep iron from rusting. It was used to anoint people. It was actually also used to worship God. And this widow had this small jar of olive oil, which she thought was insignificant. Yet she was about to find out that all God needed was the little that she had. Look what Elisha told her in verse 3 and 4. Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Elisha says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go get some empty jars from your neighbors. Then I want you to go in your house with your sons. And then I want you to take that small little bit of olive oil you have. I want you to take an empty jar and I want you to pour it in. And when that jar is full, I want you to take another empty jar and pour oil in. Doesn't that sound crazy to you? He says, go get a whole bunch of jars and you take your little bit of oil and you're going to fill all those jars up. That sounds a little crazy. That doesn't sound possible. If you were the widow, how would you respond? You might say, Elisha, I think you've been in the sun a little too long. That's not going to happen. That's humanly impossible. It defies logic. What are you talking about, Elijah? That's how many of us would respond in our rationalistic Western worldview. But look at her response. Here it is. She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Isn't that incredible? This lady said, okay, it doesn't make sense, but you said to do it. And she takes a step of faith. She shuts the door behind her, and she takes her little jar of oil, and she pours it into a jar. That's one. That's two. That's three. The oil just keeps flowing. As long as there was an empty jar, God provided the oil to fill it. And when there were no more jars, the miraculous flow of oil stopped flowing. The widow obeyed what Elijah told her to do, even though it didn't make any sense, and she offered the little that she had, and then God did what only God could do and provided her with everything she needed and beyond. When she showed God her faith, God literally poured out his faithfulness. Let me ask you today, are you willing to offer what little you have to God? Are you willing to act in faith in the face of limitation and need? Are you willing to be like that widow and say, it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to step out anyway? Look at verse 7. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Not only did God provide her need, he exceeded it. Do we trust God to provide our needs? Do we live lives of faith? I asked you that question last week as you look back on your previous week. Did you need to live a life of faith, or could you have lived as an atheist? What about next week? Are you going to live a life of faith, or are you going to live like an atheist lives, like I don't need God? Do we really believe that God can supply our needs? Philippians 4:19 says, and my God, Paul says, shall meet some of your needs, a bit of your needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I like the way Eugene Peterson put it in the Message paraphrase. He says, you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that he pours from Jesus. Do we believe that? God can provide all our needs. He says, what I want you to do is step out in faith, and when you step out in faith, I will show you my faithfulness. Here's what I want us to understand today. When we give God what little we have, he can use it in incredible ways to meet our needs and to bless others. To answer that little girl's question, yes, Jesus still heals today. Yes, Jesus wants to meet your needs today. Yes, Jesus wants to work through you to bless others today. That widow had a small jar of olive oil, which she thought was insignificant. And yet she found out all that she needed to do was to give the little she had to God, and he would do the rest. We worship and serve a God who specializes in doing a lot with a little. We see that time and time again in the Bible. In the New Testament, after Jesus had taught thousands of people, everyone was hungry. And the disciples go to Jesus and they go, Jesus, who's going to feed these people? And Jesus says to them, well, what do you have? And they say, well, Jesus, we found this boy that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The boy didn't have a lot. He had a little. But when he offered what little he had to Jesus, in the hands of Jesus, a little became a lot. Back in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 4, God asked the shepherd Moses, Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses replied, a shepherd's staff. A shepherd's staff was nothing more than a glorified stick. It was a common tool used by common shepherds for a common purpose. But understand this, the common becomes mighty when God anoints it. And God took that simple shepherd's staff in Moses' hands and transformed it into an extraordinary tool that was used for extraordinary purposes. God used that staff to turn the Nile into blood, to part the Red Sea, to bring water from a stone. Let me ask you this morning, what has God placed in your hands? Or as Elisha would ask, what do you have in your house? And you may say this morning, I just got a small jar of 1030 motor oil. I've just got a few dollars. I've just got a small house. I've just got an old car. I've just got a few skills. I've just got, even if it seems marginal, menial, insignificant, if we release what is in our hands, God will use it to meet our needs and to bless others. Think of Tom and Sue Card, our missionaries in Vicente Guerrero. Tom says over and over when he tells the story, I wasn't trained for this. I hadn't been trained to be a missionary. He says, I've just got the skills of a carpenter. His wife, she can speak Spanish fluently. And Tom and Sue said, we don't have a lot of skills. We've got a few here. God, we give them to you. But see, a little in the hands of God is a lot. And God's taken the skills they have to bless hundreds of people in the San Quintin Valley. 24 house builds, 3 schools, churches blessed. Because a couple said, we don't have a lot, but God, we'll give what we have to you. And God says, thanks, though, I'm going to take it and use it and work through you to bless hundreds of people. Remember, even though what you have may seem small or weak or insignificant, all God needs is what you have. And if we offer the little we have to Jesus in His hands, He can take that little and He can make it a lot. So as we close this morning, let me ask you, will you do that? Will you be like the widow? Will you take a step of faith and offer up what you have to Jesus? This week, will you offer up what you have to Jesus and ask Him to take the little you have and multiply it and make it overflow? This week, will you live by faith? This week, will you take a step of faith? Will you grab a shovel and dig a ditch? Or will you grab a jar of oil and pour it into another empty jar? Will you give what you have to Jesus and say, God, use it? And then as He multiplies it, as it overflows, remember one thing, to give Him all the honor and glory, because it's all about Him. And when we do that, when we show God our faith, God will show us, God will pour out on us His faithfulness. Let's be willing to step up. Let's be willing to take the oil and pour it in a jar and see what Jesus will do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for these good stories from the book of Elisha. They challenge us to walk with you. And even, God, when you seem to be telling us to do something that seems crazy in our lives, when we obey that and we take that step of faith, you pour out your faithfulness, and it doesn't just bless us, it blesses others. And so, God, I pray for all of us in this room that we will be people who will offer up the little we have to you, and then we'll watch you take it and use it and multiply it so that it overflows to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.